I want you to be kind enough to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to continue with last week's message. It was just too powerful just to let it only be for Resurrection Sunday, since I didn't get to my other scriptures. And I really want to talk about what was kind of mentioned again this week in conversation with a couple of people. And the point that was made by the Holy Spirit, and which I shared with you guys last week, that he's not here. He's not there. The place you're looking for him, he's not here. He's going ahead. He's moved forward into the destination that he's called you to. And while you're waiting for him to show up where you are and where you last seen him, he's not there. Who did that speak to? Did that speak to anybody and everybody last week? Yeah, he's so in the next place. And what's exciting about it is exciting, but a little bit scary. Let me make one more adjustment. I'm sorry. There you go. What's exciting, a little bit scary is because, religion has taught us that we don't know what God's going to do. We don't unless we ask. If we ask, he'll tell us what he's going to do. Now, will he tell us all the details of how we're going to do it? I don't think so. Okay, I think a lot of times if we know how it's going to be done, we're like, yeah, no, I'm just going to stick with this. I'm sure Isaac had no idea that when he got up to the top of the mountain with his dad, he was going to get tied up and thrown up on the altar. If not, he would have said, yeah, okay, well, I'll wait down here for you, and you go ahead and you handle your business with God. I see you when you get back, because you're getting old and crazy, right? So I ain't hear that. I can picture. I say, I don't receive that. No, I don't receive that. I rebuke that. So we're thinking about God in his present state and us in our present state. And what I've been thinking about in terms of that is, even to myself as I listen to the message again, God, that was easy to preach. But how many times am I where you were and not where you are? How many times am I looking for you in the place that he is not here? And I realize more often than not, we look for God to show up where he last showed up in the way he last showed up. I'm gonna speak for myself. I'm not gonna speak for you. We want to quote the same scriptures, same verses, sick, feeling weak in my body. I'm gonna quote the same thing. And he healed this way last time. He's gonna heal that way today. And I'm learning, he's like, yeah, well, but I'm not there though. And why is he not there? Why is he not where you last met him? Why is he not in the place all the time? Sometimes he is, sometimes he is. But how come he's not usually in the place that you expect to find him? And how many of you can bear witness just by the beginning of my conversation that you've oftentimes looked for God to show up and the way he came was not at all the way you expected? Let me see some hands. See? So that means it's not just me. I got a room full of people here that can identify and bear witness that he tends to show up in a way other than the way we expected him to. So then, if we're all establishing that we know that to be a function or a fact or a flow of his, then my question becomes why? Why does he not show up the way I expect him to show up? And at least if I'm using the way he showed up last time, then I think I have a fair reason to expect that that's the way he would show up again. I don't think that's unfair. For me to expect, I stood on these scriptures that I got these four people to pray with me. We prayed for 45 minutes. We sang for 15. We did the stuff like, exactly the way we did it before. Well, maybe we just got lucky that time. Maybe he just spun the lotto wheel and our number just happened to come up that time. But it didn't this time. The Lord works in mysterious ways. You just never know what you're going to do. And we just have to come up with all the stuff. So, me being me, I begin to say, okay, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Yeah. And you know, when I'm asking God questions like this, I can hear that tone and just be like, yeah, come on with you. Come on. Yeah, come on. Let's get there. Because he already knows where I'm going. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. So if I stood on the same word and quote the same scripture, did the same thing, why aren't you showing up the same place or the same way? And as I began to search my spirit and see what he did and how he did it each time, as he began to walk me through some situations, I came to a realization. Because each time he went off script, each time he went off of my plan, it forced me to grow a little bit more. It forced me to see a facet of daddy that I wasn't willing or able to see before. It forced me to increase my faith in a way that I didn't know he could move. A lot of times it introduced me to a side of him that I didn't know existed. Who bears witness with where I'm going right now? So I'm saying, okay, so you will show up, but you won't always show up the way I expect you to because you're demanding a maturity of me spiritually that I may not be willing to embrace because I've adapted comfortability in my walk. We are creatures of habit, and being as such, we like to figure out the way it's done and then do it that way. God's a habit breaker. He likes to say, okay, that's what you do and that's what works for you, but I am flipping the script. If we talk about our Savior, you got to remember they had their whole way that God was going to show up and deliver them, all of Israel at that time, right? He came in, hailstone from the sky. Friday came in, a small troop, and defeated armies of many. And they had all of this concept of the way they were going to destroy Ro the Roman Empire and their enemy this time. Because you got a whole history book, the Old Testament, of daddy coming in and wiping out the enemy, correct? Every single time you fasted and you prayed and you did what you religiously knew to do, and God came in and flipped the enemy on his head, and you walked away with all the spoils. So we're gonna get all the Roman spoils and gold, and we're gonna come out of here richer than rich, and we're gonna rule the Roman Empire. And I'm sure they have this whole image in their head of what daddy's gonna do. And daddy says, no, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who use you. If they ask you for a coat, give them your cloak. Wait, 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 wait. This is not how you do it. You turn water, where's the locusts and the frogs and the hailstorms falling down and the firstborn dying? And where's all of that stuff that you normally do when we call on you? I hope that you're listening to what I'm saying to you today. And he said, but this time I'm going to introduce you to who I am and how I choose to work. That's different from what you're used to. I want you to know a different side of me, because what I want to really introduce you to in this season and time, are you ready? Is my mercy and my grace. I do not want to destroy your enemies. I want you to love your enemies. Nah, he's a heretic. There's no way. We need God to meet us the way he always meets us, and that's by destroying the enemy. He's going around and feeding the Samaritan and going to Cornelius' house, and this is not what we do. They're dogs. We're greater than them, even though we're under their rule and suppressed under them. We're better than them, right? Isn't that sound like a lot of Christians we know? Oh, no. Yeah, they're going to hell. They don't know Jesus. And Jesus is like, no, well, see, I didn't come for you to have animosity and bitterness toward those that you feel are beneath you. I'm here for you to love those and bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. Well, yeah, no, I want revenge. I want to see you move like a whirlwind and wipe out those who oppose me. And he's like, that's not the personality of me that I'm introducing in this season. If I was, and if he was, none of us would be on here right now crying, Abba, Father. because we're outside of the culture. We would not be accepted. There would be no grafted in. There will be no sinner's prayer. There will be no communion Sunday. There will be no promise of eternal life through by the confession of his name. None of these things would exist if he stuck to the plan. His ultimate goal was everybody. So as he goes through the seasons of life and you expect him to manifest, he's going to say to you, I'm not there. I've gone before you to meet you where I'm calling you. And where I'm calling you is greater than where you are, and it requires something of you that you may not presently have tapped into. I'm gonna say that one more time. It requires something that of you that you have not yet tapped into or may not have tapped into. I'm gonna say that one more time, because notice I didn't say it requires something of you that you do not have. It says it requires something of you that you have not yet tapped into, because he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And throughout these walks and these other occasions and times that he had to fish you out or walk you through, he put something in you to prepare you for the moment that he wants you to go meet him in Galilee, because that's where he's going to be right now. Does anything good come from there? Well, that's where he's going to meet you, though. Remember they asked that question? Wait a minute, does anything good come from there? Well, he's going to be there and you're going to go there and meet him, because there is where he's prepared your next level of growth and maturity and relationship with him. And I need us to understand this. God, look, I'm going to be on here then, all right? Whatever you want to do. Here's what I need you to understand. Every level of my walk, when he gave me that, no unforgiveness, no resentment, no bitterness, no animosity toward anybody. When he gave me Whipper, when he gave me these things were all preparation for where he was going to meet me. And after I prepared and studied and spoke and meditated on those words, and I came back and said, okay, I got it. Here I am. Oh, you're not here. No, that was to prepare you for where I'm taking you now. And where I'm taking you now is going to challenge those statements that you've been making. I'm going to find out if you found out that you do have wisdom. If you're back against the wall, where's that insight you've been speaking for the past 2 years? If you say, I don't understand, where's that understanding? You've been confessing understand wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, peace, prosperity, and abundance. I don't even see the crumbs yet. Where is the stuff you've been speaking? You've been speaking it. Well, it's not working. It doesn't work where you are. It works where you're called. It works where you're called. I don't need the skills he just gave me to continue to function in the place that he just left me. I need those skills to function where he's called me. So what I want us to do right now in this season is begin to say to God, am I where I'm supposed to be, or have you moved on to somewhere else? And I'm going to tell you, even before you pray it and waste a lot of prayer time on it, you already know in your spirit if he's no longer where you're trying to make him be. You already know in your spirit if what I'm saying is the truth or not. You can search your heart right now and go, yeah, I keep calling for you, God, here, and I'm just not seeing you. So by definition of human failure, when we try to make God show up where he is not, and he does not, then we go back to doing what we used to do. Because maybe if I go back to doing what I used to do, he'll show up again. Well, he may send a messenger to let you know you still need to come to where I'm calling you, because I'm not showing up where I left you. Why not? Because God doesn't function in codependency. He's not the father of codependency. That's not his thing. He's not going to continue to support you in the place that he is no longer anointing you. Thank you, Lord. Listen, I could wrap the message up right there, but I got some verses that I want to throw up in here. And I hope you're being blessed, challenged, pinched a little bit. This is one of them ouchy type messages. Yes, it is. So I'm in Corinthians 5. And I want you to go to verse 21. And this is an awesome scripture. Short, but it's to the point. Since it was by man death came into the world, it is also by a man that the resurrection of the dead will come. For just as Adam died, just as in Adam all die, excuse me, also in Christ all have been made alive. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? You see. So he talked about Adam and the relationship with Adam that God had. Watch me. And through that, all men die. And through that relationship or that form of the relationship, Adam made a choice. And the consequence of that choice was death. And the seed of death was passed on from generation to generation through that man's disobedience. But then he said, now through Christ in the power of resurrection, just like all men died, watch this, all men should be made alive. Now, this is a very interesting, simple point, but it's powerful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because of Adam's disobedience to be where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there, death came to all. What happened as a result of that is, if you take of this tree, you will surely die. If you do this, you will live. If you do this, you will die. Grace was not introduced yet. So he said, not only did all men die, but through Christ, listen to the words, say it with me, all men or all people shall be made alive. That statement means that all men did die, and death was the consequence of for every man for that decision of Adam. So the word made alive has a meaning and a strength. That means, you know, we see the word quickened. In Christ, you were quickened, raised from the dead. That could be very deceptive if you don't really understand what's being said. This death is not physical. This death is spiritual. I know that, Pastor. Let's see if you know. So when you got saved, you didn't just inherit eternal life. You were in the realm of the spirit awakened. That means any relationship severing that happened in death was repaired in Christ. Stay with me. What did man have with God before the fall of man? He had all wisdom to name every animal and every tree and whatever, and how the seasons worked, you know, for him to just think it was. He could walk with God in the cool of the day and hang out and just chill and talk. Well, I just pray and wait for the Spirit or the Holy Spirit to fall on me. Well, no, he could just go hang out and walk with him. Just call him down from his busy schedule and say, yo, I just want to hang out with you a little bit, walk around in the garden and talk. There was a relationship that was severed, that was restored. Now, watch this. We love to talk about us having a greater relationship than that of Abraham, but when we talk about that, we're most of the time talking about it from a monetary perspective. I'm not talking monetary right now. Now, one, yes, the monetary and prosperity and all that stuff, fine. I'm not, nobody getting into any of that. I'm talking about relationship. When I'm talking about resurrection, I'm talking about the relationship was resurrected. I'm talking about we have a relationship with God that we're not cashing in on because we keep trying to make God meet us in a realm of earth. And he's saying, I'm not here. I've gone to another place. Well, wait, what is that other place? And right away when I said that, I'm sure your mind stored that next place or that next blessing or that next business venture or that next apartment or that next house or that next job. And that's not what he's talking about. That's an earthly realm. Jesus left here. If he wanted to keep meeting you in an earthly realm, he would stay. He left. He went to the right hand of the Father. In Ephesians chapter 1, said, we will rise together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, he sits on the right hand of the Father. And if we sit together in heavenly places, then that's where we sit. Then why are we not functioning like he's there and we're there with him instead of trying to always pray for him to come down here and meet us in a circumstance that's present? Am I going over your head? We are, Lindsay said a little bit. Okay. I've said this before, and I'm sure you've heard it from other preachers, but we're greater than this planet. And we're not here to be praying for God to fix our day-to-day needs and our rent for the month. And if I could just get a little increase, that's where God is forced to show up because that's where we keep asking him to meet us. We're called to sit at the right hand and make decisions on how this earth goes. So if you want to argue about, I don't like Trump, I don't like Biden, I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, here's the problem. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from trying to keep me functioning their stupid day-to-day problems, I would hear from heaven because they'll be right here beside me at my right hand, and then I will change and heal the land. The power is not in us trying to get God to meet us here. The problem is we need to go meet him there. I'm learning that I've spent too much time trying to get God to meet me here. And I'm doing my best at this season of my life to find out what I need to do to meet him there. His ways are above my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. So trying to get him to come in and bless my thoughts and give me wisdom to function in this earth and give me insight to function in this earth, because that's what I've been praying, and give me understanding to function in this earth and give me the knowledge of God to function in this earth. I'll be praying, God, give me wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge to function in the realm of your world. And then this world just makes sense because it falls in line with what we say. Do you understand me now? We're called to be greater than this world. And everything has convinced us that we are still subjects to this world, and God has to show up like a Superman or whatever and deliver us from time to time. And our problems. You know, Superman is a very interesting, in most of these cartoon heroes, it's a very interesting character, right? Because we make Jesus a Superman, and understandably so, because we know him as an individual walking on the dusty shores of Galilee, right? Superman has a problem. He seems like a great hero. But from my opinion, he just saves Lois Lane a lot. Right? He's not omnipresent. He's not saving everybody everywhere. He can only be in one place at a time. So he focuses on his girl. Now, let me tell you something. God is not limited like that. He can be everywhere, focusing on everyone at every moment. But what he wants to do is to get a legion of him focusing on what he's focusing on when he's focusing on. If we're functioning from that realm of he's not here, how many of you know he's not here? Jesus is not here. Scripture said that. He went up to the right hand of the Father and he sat there. He made the statement, I'm done. So I need you to come up to where I am to receive from me who and what I am so that you can then come down here and function in this realm like I function up here at the right hand of the Father. I'm challenging you because I'm challenging me. Nellie got a word from the Lord and she shared it with me. And the word said, we are both, her and I are both too focused on emotion. Are we too, we function or we deal with things too much out of emotion in certain areas. It's like it's just too, too much how I feel, how it makes me feel, how, I don't like the way you said that, and why'd you have to say it like that? And oh my God, it reminds me of where I came from. And it's too much of that stuff. And I said, well, God, why? He said, because that's the realm you function out of. You functioning out of the realm of what was and what was done and how it was done and what it meant when it was done. You're not functioning out of the realm of, I'm no longer there, I'm here, and I need you to be here. So I don't care what they said and how it sounded. I need to understand God, but whatever they said, however they did it, and who did that. What are you doing here? And what are you trying to convey and get across? And how do I help you get across to whoever this is, what it is you're saying? That's work on myself. It's work on myself. So just having a therapist. Therapists help you deal with this realm. The me and the problems I'm having within myself and the feelings that I have, and I feel so misunderstood. And God has been saying to me, only person who needs to understand you is me. But more important, you need to understand me. Well, God, how do I do that? By understanding I'm no longer there. I'm no longer even in your past hurts. Forgetting the thing which is behind you, you press forward to the mark of the high calling. Oh, shucks, hold up. I've heard that scripture my whole life. What do you mean the high? Oh, you know what I always heard? And press forward to the higher calling, the thing that's higher than where I am right now, right? Am I the only one? Am I the only one? And he said, no, the high calling, the place where I am now and where I sit at the right hand of the Father, that you sit with me together in heavenly places. I've asked you to come to the high caller. You just saying, bring me up a little bit higher, Lord. They got songs like that. Just bring me up a little higher. No, I don't want to bring you up a little higher. I want you to operate out of this realm. Well, God, I don't know how to do that. Let the training begin. You are not just people. You are Holy Spirit-filled God vessels. Huh. You need to understand that. You say, I'm a God vessel. You are a container of God. My goodness, if you just go to the store and you just buy the worst bad for you soda that you can buy, it's not the bottle, it's what's in the bottle. Dump that crap out and fill it with something healthy, and all of a sudden that bottle has a whole new power. You're a bottle. You're a container. Death has been pulled out, and you have been filled with God. A whole new container you are now. You're not, you may look in the mirror and see the same person, and you may remember and recollect the old habits and the old issues and the old pains and the old hurts, but you have been dumped out and refilled with his spirit. You are God's container. You look different. Remember when you first got saved and everybody told you how you glowed? You look different. You are different. When you pour out, what you pour out is coming from a whole different dimension. So, with that said, I know that I'm a God container. Somebody say, I'm a God container. I'm filled with the presence of God. See, that's different than just calling on them whenever you have a problem in your earthly container. If you're filled with them, when the situation arises, you just pour a little out. You're filled with it. What do you mean by pour a little out? Who wants to know what I mean by that? Or do you understand it? Just Sophie, and this is for you, Sophie. Okay, Celine, too. If you're filled with the spirit and presence of God, you pour it out through your mouth. Isn't that how he created the earth? So you either pouring out what the world says and what you were and where you were, or you pouring out what he says. So when you say, I am healed, when I was sitting up there in that hospital and there was somebody, it could be cancer, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this. And I was laying there and you guys were praying for me and having an intercessory prayer group. And I'm sitting up there in the bed with the cover over me and they said, we're going to turn the light off so you can rest. And it just hit me. So you put me in a room, you told me it could have cancer, gave me a cover to throw over myself, turn the light off so I can sit here now and marinate in the darkness of what said while I'm waiting for you guys to come back hours from now to get to give me, to tell me my fate. And I'm sitting there and just after praying, God said, like, oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where's thy sting? Get up out of this bed. You don't stand in this room and look here and wait for them. You tell them the news. I threw that cover over my shoulders and said, listen, I'm hungry. I want to go get something to eat while you'll figure this out. No, you can't go outside. You better find me some food somewhere because I'm getting ready to leave. No, but we got to come back with you yourself. Email me. Right away at that moment, my spirit changed. What I poured out of my container changed the atmosphere of the room. You understand what I'm saying? I spoke it out. Well, I went to the doctor on Friday to have my full physical. He said, you had high cholesterol. It's gone. You were pre-diabetic. It's gone, like normal. He said, you are so healthy. We don't understand. He said, we still got to check out what's going on with your prostate. Your prostate's a little swollen, but everything else is like you're in tip. You're not a 65-year-old. Like, you are in tip-top shape. And I said, I know. Because that thing, that devotion that we do every day, we speak that. That's how you pour it out. The same way God created the earth. He spoke it and it was so. You speak it and so. That's how we get in his realm. Not, oh God, I'm in a problem. Please help me. God's like, you're not in a problem. You're the problem. If you keep speaking, you're in a problem. You're the problem if what keeps pouring out of you is what the enemy says. You're your own problem. You're not here. You're there. So, children of God, Adam sinned and we all die. Christ came and we were made alive, not so that we can live on the earth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But that we have been made alive. It's the same word as used, ruah, and he breathed unto him the breath of life. Remember in the book of Genesis? Let us create man, and then he breathed, ruah, the breath of life. It's the same word. It's like you were literally, when you say I was born again, it's a literal meaning that ruah, that you were like the breath of life was breath on a dead corpse or a block of clay and it arose. You have the breath of life on you and in you. You are a God container. And I think we should just call this part of the message the God container, right? Because you are the God container. And because you are, you're filled with him. And you have a right to sprinkle a little bit here and there as you go throughout this life. You're not in this life trying to get him to come in. He's in you trying to get you to pour him out. You're the God container, and you're the one that God has put here in chains and breathed life on. And you were dead, but you're not. Now you're alive. Now, when I die and go to heaven, no, you're right now on earth as it is in heaven. Why do you think Jesus said to pray that? I'm supposed to be here functioning like they do there or like he does there. And that for me is the new level that I've stepped to. I need to know how to function here as the God container, sprinkling a little God everywhere I go. When I sat with my doctor yesterday and he said, wow, this is done, this is done, this is done. You really changed your life and your diet. I said, I did that. I changed my diet. Not what I took in as much, but what I spit out. I'm spitting that devotion out every day. It's not what goes in a man that defiles, and the Bible says what comes out of a man. This is all scriptural. Everything I'm saying is fact. I've just made a decision that what comes out of me is going to be drastically different. So I'm speaking it. How many of you are doing your devotion regularly? How many of you are doing your devotion daily? Are you seeing a difference? And it may not be yet around you, but boy, you feel it in you. So use this thing right here. You call a mouth. That's your container. That's your open. That's your spout. Use this to pour out the life that he says is yours. Not what's around you, not what the world is saying, but what God has told you and you're believing. Well, I don't know if I'm on your level. So then be on your level. I'm just telling you to speak life. I'm not telling you to believe what I believe. I'm not telling you to do what I do the way I do it. But I'm saying whatever's in your container, you can stop pouring that out and throwing the other junk out. And if you get enough of the right stuff in your container, the other stuff will overflow and fall out. How many of you being blessed by what you're hearing today? You are the God container. You are the God container. I am the God container. And I'm saying, God, you're not here anymore. You're there. And you took me from being dead and you gave me the breath of life all over again, like I was the first man ever made. You're the first woman ever made. Born again. A new creation. Now, when I'm claiming wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, peace, prosperity, and abundance, patience, I'm saying in the realm of the kingdom, not for the earth realm. I'm going to deposit it in the earth realm, but I'm claiming that from the realm of the spirit because I am a God container. In Jesus' name, people of God said, listen, I want you guys to go forward and be blessed. I want you to take this word that you heard, and I want you to manifest it. I want you to manifest it. Not just, ooh, that word was good. Ooh, praise God. No, I want you to make a decision that this week you will manifest that. You're going to see some kind of fruit. Listen to me, saints. You have to make that decision. I can't make it for you, and God's not going to make it for you. You have to make the decision. God, I will see your manifestation. I will see it. And I thank you for it. Father, bless these people. Continue to teach us where the power lies in you. Continue to teach us who we are in you. Continue to teach us to see ourselves from the realm of the spirit, not from this earthly realm. We are so much more powerful than we know we are. We ask you to help us see ourselves, not as mere earthlings, but as people who have been born again from the seed of the spirit. We are the salt of the earth. We make the difference. Show us how. We're not trying to change everything. We just want to change the stuff you put us around. Jesus, even you said, I don't go to everybody. I just go to those who you send me to. Pool of Bethesda was proof of that. So help us, Lord, to understand that we're more than just mere humans making it through. We are the God vessels filled with the Spirit, sprinkling it on the earth, just like salt. And we thank you in the name of Jesus that we will do better. We are better. We shall be better all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Blessings to you, saints. Love you guys.